Dalet Amid Beis in Chagiga, second line from the top. Okay, the Gemara was discussing at the bottom of the other page. Certain people are not obligated to go up to the Beis Hamikdash for Yom Tov. Like the Gemara said, if you're crippled, you can't walk because you're not able to walk, and the Torah says you have to walk up to the Beis Hamikdash. A blind person, an old person, you know, these people are not obligated. So now the Gemara continues and says, Tana, we learned in the Braise, Ha'arol v'atame, a person who is not circumcised, and a person who is impure, P'turim and Ariya, are not obligated to go up to the Beis Hamikdash to bring the Karban Re'iya. So the Gemara says, Bishleim v'atame, I understand the person who is tame, is impure, he doesn't have to go up. Why not? Because it says, Basa Shama, come up to the Beis Hamikdash, V'aveisim Shama, and bring a sacrifice. So therefore we liken, Kol Sheyesh Bebiya, whoever is obligated, whoever is able to come up to the Beis Hamikdash, they're obligated, Yashin Bahava, they have to bring a carbon. V'chol She'ena Bebiya, and a person who can't come up, for instance, a guy that's Tameh, is not allowed to go on the Beis Hamikdash. So the Torah says, come to the temple and bring a carbon. So obviously the Torah is teaching us that if you can't come, then you're not obligated to bring the carbon. If the person's Tameh, he's impure, he can't go up to the Beis Hamikdash, so obviously he's not obligated to bring a carbon.
What's a carbon?
Sacrifice.
Oh.
For Yom Tov. Ela, Aro, but the Gemara asks, how do I know that a person who's not circumcised, how do I know that he doesn't have to go bring a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash? Because even though a guy's not circumcised, doesn't mean he's not Jewish. I mean, a Jew who's not circumcised is 100% Jew. So the question is, how do we know that an Arel is not obligated to go up with a carbon? So the Gemara answers, Hamani, who does this go like? It goes according to the ruling of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva learns, Marbe la Arel ketomei. Rabbi Akiva learns from a pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote, that somebody who's not circumcised is like somebody who's impure. And therefore, if an impure person doesn't have to go up, because he can't go up to the Beis Hamikdash, therefore he doesn't have to bring a carbon. So a guy who's not circumcised would also not have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. Where do we see this concept? The Tanya, because we learned in a Braise, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva said the following statement. It says, Ish, Ish. It says in the Pasuk, if a man will be leper. Ish, Ish, a person will be a leprosy. Okay, so it says, why does it say double ish ish? Why does it say the extra word ish? What's wrong? Oh. L'rabbe says ha'orel is coming to include one who is not circumcised. So therefore, the pasuk says as follows. A man who is leper or impure, whatever the law that the pasuk is referring to over there. The fact that it says an extra ish teaches us that even a person who's not circumcised has the same din as one who's impure. So therefore, the Gemara came to the conclusion, a person who's Tameh cannot go up to the Beis Hamikdash, therefore he does not have to bring the carbon. The same thing, a person who's not circumcised, according to Rabbi Kiva, he has the same din as a person who is Tameh. Now the Gemara says, Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned, Tameh Patim Min Ari'iyah. A person who's impure, like we just said, the Gemara is just quoting a different braisa, that a person who's impure is not obligated to go up to bring a carbon on Yom Tov. Why? Because it says the exact same Gemara that we just said. Uvasa shama vaveisim shama. You should come to the Beis Hamikdash and you should bring a carbon. So what do we learn out? Kol sheyashne bebiya, whoever is able to come into the Beis Hamikdash, yashne bahava could bring. And if a person is not able to come to the Beis Hamikdash because he's Tameh, then he does not have to bring. That's what the first opinion says. Rabbi Yochanan and Da'ava Eimer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Now it's not an argument, it's just another statement. Rabbi Yochanan, the son of Davoi, that was his name, said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Suma Ba'achas Me'enov, a person who's blind in one eye, Potter Minaria does not have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara quoted this before, but now the Gemara is explaining the source of it. A person who is blind in both eyes does not have to go up. Because the Pasuk says, you have to go up to see God. If you can't see God, meaning he can't see the Beis HaMikdash, so he can't go up.
Rabbi, take a moment and please explain to me what would be an example of a sacrifice that somebody who's impure would bring to the...
No, the Jews, when they went up to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they had to come up, the Torah says, don't come up and empty-handed. They had to bring animal sacrifices to God. One of them was burnt completely on the Mizbeach. One was eaten by the Kohanim and by the owner that brought it. So there are different korbanos they had to bring. So the Gemara is discussing that, like a person is impure because he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, obviously the Torah is freeing him from bringing the korban. Now he's saying that a guy who's blind even in one eye, that means he's able technically to see, but he's blind in one eye, he doesn't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Shenama, because it says in the Torah, Yira Yiraem. That means as follows. There is, in Hebrew, there's the way words are written and the way words are pronounced. And it's not always the same way. Now in the Torah it says, Yira'e kol zechurcha. All your male should be seen. Should be seen. But the Torah writes it Yira. See. What does it mean? The Gemara learns, and this is a very famous Gemara which is brought down in many places. The Gemara is learning like this. The same way God comes to the temple, that's the way you, in other words, the way God sees you, that's the way you should see God. What does this mean? God obviously, not physically, but has perfect vision. So in other words, if you have to be seen the way God sees you, or you have to see God the way God sees you, if God sees you with two eyes, so to speak, you're only obligated to come up if you have two eyes to see.
That's how are you going to know how God sees you?
He told me.
That means God never looked at me my whole life?
Maybe. God sees you with the right eye and the left eye.
God, no, the second half of the book, sir. It says, "Kederach shabalireis," just like God comes to, so to speak, to see the people. Kachbalireis, that's the way you should be seen. Meaning, that's the way you have to see Hashem. Ma balireis, and the Gemara continues, just like when Hashem comes to see you, so to speak, v'shtei yodov, with shtei eino, with two eyes. Afleroi is the same thing, that he must be seen lebishteino with the pilgrim's two eyes. Meaning, kshem shabolireis, just as God comes to see you with two eyes, that's the way you have to see him. So therefore the Gemara derives that if a person is blind even in one eye, it's not the same way God is coming to see you, so to speak, so you don't have to go up. Okay? He's still obligated. As long as he's able to see from it, he has to go up. I mean, certain eye blemishes, if he was a Kohen, couldn't work on the Beis HaMikdash. But as far as a Jew, with the obligation of going up to the Beis HaMikdash, regardless, he had to go up.
I heard also that maybe crippled or even a left-hander.
No, crippled, we learned before in the Gemara last time, that he's not obligated to go up, because it turns out you have to be earlier. Like, I'm talking about a Kohen. A left-handed Kohen cannot work in the Beis HaMikdash.
Really?
It's considered a blemish.
Really?
Yep.
A left-handed Kohen?
Yeah.
Did you ask Leo what he is?
If Sandy Koufax was a Kohen, we'd have a problem. Okay, now the Gemara says, the next piece of Gemara is very interesting. The next whole page of Gemara is going discussing that when rabbis of the Gemara learned a certain pasuk, they started crying. They got emotional when they came to various psukim in Torah. It says, Rav Huna kimat, we're on Dalit Amid Beis, 8, page 8?
Yes.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, yeah, 16 lines from the top. Gemara says now, Rav Huna ki matala haikra, when Rav Huna would come to this pasuk, Yira Yira, In other words, it's written Yira, we read it Yira. He used to bach, he used to cry. So, and he explained, why did he cry? Omer, he said, Eved shirapi mitzapa leleresi, where a servant is so beloved to the master that the master comes to see him, and the master wants to see him. And all of a sudden, yithrachik mimenu, how could it be that the master automatically distances himself from that person? Meaning, all of a sudden, God says, you can't come. So he says, because it says in the Pasuk, ki savoy lireis panay, when you come to see my face, mi bikesh zeis miyadcham, who is looking for this? The meis chazayra, the people that trample on my courtyards. Meaning, even though the Gemara said before it refers to wearing shoes, but it refers to God rejecting you. So Rav Huna said, you know, it's remarkable. From one side, God is waiting for the person to come to see him, and all of a sudden God rejects the person.
Did Rav Huna have a room, maybe?
No, Rav Huna, first Rav Huna was after the Beis Hamikdash. He was way after. And the Gemara says also, Rav Huna said another verse, the same Rav Huna. When he came to this pasuk, which he's going to explain, when he came to this pasuk, he cried. What was the pasuk? It says in the pasuk, "Vezavachta shlamim, you should slaughter karbanis, sacrifices. Ve'achalta shamim, you should eat it. These are the shlamim that you could eat." So he says, "Eved shirabi mitzapa lechal ashulchanei, a servant is so beloved to the master that his master wants the servant to eat at his table." Meaning, partakes part of the Mizbeach, which is God's table. Yisrachik mimenu. How is it possible that God should distance himself from the Jew? Because another pasuk says, Lama li reiv zivchechem, why do I need all your sacrifices? Amar Hashem, that God says. Basically, these psukim are referring when Jews don't behave. So you say, can you imagine? There's a master that's longing to see the servant, and all of a sudden the master rejects him. So first he says, I don't want you to come up to the Beis HaMikdash. Who's asking you to come up? You trample my courtyards. Or, as Rav Huna said, another pasuk by Shlomim, there's a pasuk that says, do you bring a karbanis from eating from the table of God? And then the pasuk says, God says to the Jewish people, who needs your karbanis? This is the pasuk in Haftarah. Yeah. Lama li zev zecheichem yemer Hashem, yeah. Which one? Yeah, it's some.
You want to make that statement Shabbos when you give your drusha Shabbos.
I'll think about it. Rabbi Lazar, then the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar kimata lahaykra. When Rabbi Lazar came to a following pasuk bachi, he cried. What was the pasuk? It says in Chumash, when Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, it says the brothers were so taken aback, they couldn't even answer him. Then finally Yosef said, come here, you know, I'm your brother. But initially it says, his brothers could not even answer him. They were astounded before him. So he says, if a rebuke, and the Mefarshim explained, even though Yosef really didn't rebuke his brothers, but his brother thought he was going to rebuke them. So Yosef's rebuking the brothers became so astounded they couldn't even answer. Techecha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God rebukes us, halachas kama v'kama, how much more so it should cause dismay and being astounded when God screams at us. So he cried at these psukim that look, when God reacts certain ways to us, how terrible it is. And then it says, Rabbi Lazar, another story with Rabbi Lazar, Kimata lahaikra, when he came to this pasuk, bachi, he cried. What was the pasuk? There's a story in Tanakh as follows. Shaul needed help if he should go to fight a battle against the Philistines, against the Plishtim. He didn't get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim, from the Kohen's breast. He didn't get any answers. If he should do it or not, if he'll be successful. So the Gemara says, he relied on the last resort. He brought up Shmuel Hanavi from the dead. Now in the Chumash, the Torah speaks about you're not allowed to practice witchcraft that speaks to the dead people. There used to be a process of witchcraft. They used to bring up the spirits of the dead people, and they used to communicate with them. So the pas, huh? Whatever it's called, I don't know. Der Shalameisim, Chumash. What?
Same thing
with Yudaini, it was over there, Yudaini says. He says over here, having received no reply from Hashem, not in the dream, not from the order of the Tum, not through the prophets, he had no choice but to resort to the forbidden. They were near sorcerers, meaning they were these rich witches. They were able to bring up somebody from the dead. So he went to a certain woman, okay? And this woman brought up the spirit of Shaul from the dead, of Shmuel. Shaul brought up the spirit of Shmuel from the dead. So when that happened, the Pasuk says as follows, Vayomer Shmuel HaShaul, Shmuel, the spirit of Shmuel, said to Shaul, Lami Gastani, why did you disturb me? Lahali Seisi, to bring me up. Shmuel got angry at him. So what are you doing? You have nothing else to do but take away my peace in Gan Eden? What are you doing? So he says, Uma Shmuel HaTzadik. What if Shmuel HaTzadik, Hayimisyari Min Adin, was afraid of divine judgment? Because he said to him, by bringing him back, it's like Shmuel had to be judged again. So if Shmuel, who is such a holy tzaddik, was afraid of God's judgment, so Anu Alachas Kama V'Kama, how much more so we should be fearful from Hashem's judgment. So that's why Rabbi Lazar cried. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Mahi. The Gemara continues and says, where do we see Shmuel is afraid of judgment? The only thing Shmuel said to him, you're bringing me up, you're disturbing my sleep, you know, my peace. Where do we see that Shmuel is afraid of being divinely judged? So it says, the Chassid becomes a Pasuk says, Vayetemer Isha El Shaul, the woman who brought up Shmuel from the dead, said to Shaul, Elakim Ra'isi Eilim, I saw a great man. Elohim over here does not mean God. Elohim is also like a judge, a very great man, ascending from earth. And the Pasuk says, Eilim, not Ole. Singular is Ole. The woman said to him, I see a great man, Olim, plural, coming up from the ground. So who is the two people she brought up? So it said, what happened? Elim, Trei Mashma. He brought up two people. Who was it to? Chad was Shmuel. One, she brought up the spirit of Shmuel. V'idach, and the other spirit was the Ozel Shmuel v'aisel Moshe b'hadei. Shmuel went and took Moshe Rabbeinu's spirit with him. Shmuel said, if I'm coming up to this world again to Shaul, he said, I don't want to go, huh? I bring Moshe with me, I need company. Why? So the Gemara says, what happens? Amalei, what's the explanation that Shmuel got Moshe to come with him? How did he get Moshe to come with him? He said, Dil mechas v'shalom l'dina mitra'ina. Shmuel said to Moshe, I don't know why I'm being called. Instead, Shmuel's spirit was called from the ground. He didn't know for what purpose. He didn't know Shaul wanted to ask him a question. He just know his soul is being recalled. So he said to Moshe, listen, I'm afraid God is going to judge me. So what I need you to do, I need you to come with me, that you should testify that I kept the Torah. You should testify that I kept the Torah. Amalei, so Shmuel said to Moshe, Dil mechas v'shal nadina mitve'ina. Maybe I'm going to be brought up for judgment. And Kumba Adoy, Shmuel said to the spirit of Moshe, come with me. The lack of milsa diksavta be'eris, because there was nothing you wrote in the Torah, the leka yamta that I didn't fulfill. So he needed Moshe, so to speak, as a guarantee to come up. Huh? It's interesting, the Tosfos over here explains this interesting thing. How can Moshe testify what Shmuel did if he wasn't alive? When Shmuel was alive. In other words, Shmuel already died. But Shmuel lived hundreds and hundreds of years after Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Hundreds of years after Moshe Rabbeinu. So the simple meaning of the Gemara is that Shmuel's spirit, when they brought him up, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I need you to come and testify in case God is calling me to judgment that I kept the Torah. So Tosfos, so to speak, asks, how can Moshe testify that Shmuel kept the Torah if he wasn't alive at the time? You can't testify when you're dead. Mm-hmm. How did Moshe Rabbeinu in Gan Eden? How does he know what's going on down here on earth?
Of course he knows. I mean,
but he couldn't be a witness. No, Tosfos says, it starts Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, I'm saying, Deleke Milsa. The third Tosfos in the bottom. You see, Leboy Lememer, he didn't want to tell him, Sheyoyed Le Shekiyah Makol, that Moshe Rabbeinu should testify that he knew everything. Why? The Mino Yoda. How does Moshe Rabbeinu know? V'lohoye B'dayri. He wasn't alive when Shmuel was alive. You can't testify from the dead. By the way, you know, there's an interesting halach in Rambam, it's from the Gemara, that if somebody had testimony in a dream, it's worthless. Somebody testified for something in a dream. Somebody came to you from the world and testified, it's no good. So he says, how can Moshe testify that Shmuel kept the Torah if Moshe wasn't alive or didn't witness it? You have to witness it with your eyes, not know what happened. So Tosfos learns it wasn't to testify that Shmuel kept it. It was to testify that Shmuel interpreted the Torah the way Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's what he wanted him to testify. But Tosfos says it can't be on the fulfillment of mitzvahs because that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't testify. Okay. Okay, then the Gemara continues and says, Ravami kimotel haikra, Ravami, when he came to this pasuk, he cried. What was his pasuk that he cried? It says, the pasuk says, where is this pasuk in Tzvanya? It says as follows. Tzvanya. No, the next one's Eichel. No, the one before is Eichel. Bakshu tzedek. This pasuk is not Nechel. Bakshu tzedek, seek out righteousness. Bakshu anova, seek out humility. Ulai tisasru b'yeim af Hashem. Maybe you will be concealed on the day of God's anger. That means the Torah says,
what about the pasuk ki yiten bo'ef pi?
Huh? Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I skipped two lines of the Gemara. No, good. No, Baruch Hashem. Do you know the Rebbe once said that by Fabrini? The Rebbe once interpreted a whole Mishnah of Rab Shimon, that Rab Shimon Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, when the Mishnah was Rab Shimon Ben Nisano. You know, in Pirkei Avos is a Mishnah, Chamisha Talmidim, Rabbi Yechim Zaka had five students. And one of them was Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel. That was one of the five. And then each one said a statement, you know. So Rabbi Shimon said, the Mishnah just says, Rabbi Shimon Eimer, when you daven, you know, you should make your davening not as a burden. Yep. So the Rebbe explained the whole Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bayochoi, and the whole thing. So everybody started asking questions. The Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel. How did the Rebbe say Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi? The whole thing. So the Rebbe explained, first of all, the Rebbe said the way everybody asked the question like a bunch of fools. Everybody didn't ask the question correctly. But the Rebbe said, why did he do it? The Rebbe ended up explaining that Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel was the same level as Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, so whatever applied to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai applied to Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel. that Terasim Nasi, that Terry was his business. Anyway, so the Rebbe said, why did he do it? So there's a din. The Rebbe said there's a din in the laws of teachers in Yoredeya that a teacher, when they're teaching a class, is sometimes allowed to make a mistake intentionally in the teaching to see if the kids with the if the students with, yeah. are listening or not. To see if they're paying attention. Anyway, you're right, they skipped two lines. Ravami kimot, you know why? Because the next piece of Gemara is also Ravami. Ravami kimot alaikra, going back if.
Yeah. It's also
okay, whatever. Ravami kimot alaikra, whenever you came to this pasuk, Bachi used to cry. What is the pasuk? This pasuk taka zanecha. Yitin ba'afar pihu. Let him put his mouth to the dust. Ula yesh tikva. Maybe there's hope. That means if you put yourself, make yourself afflicted, and you know, maybe there'll be hope for you. So the Gemara says, Kula haiva ulai, all the suffering, and yet maybe. After all the suffering, only maybe you'll survive. You know, maybe there's hope. And the same thing, Ravami, the same Ravami, Kimot alaikro, when he came to another pasuk, he said, Bachi also cried. What was the pasuk? Bakshu tzedek, seek righteousness. Bakshu another, seek humility. Ulaiti sasru, maybe you'll be hidden. B'yom af Hashem, in the day God's anger, God gets angry. What does it mean? Just to explain it with the story with the Tzemach Tzedek, a guy, a chassid once came to the Tzemach Tzedek, and complained that everybody picks on him. Picks on him. Everybody makes fun of him. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, who tells you to spread yourself out over the entire Beis Medrash that wherever anybody walks to step on you? In other words, basically he said to him, you're asking for trouble. You know, you get around, you get in everybody's way, you know, you spread yourself out all over the place. You beat to yourself, humble and quiet. Nobody will start up with you. So Ravami said, the pasuk says, seek humility, seek, you know, righteousness. Maybe when God gets angry, he won't look at you. You know, he won't get angry at you. So he says, kulahai, all the spiritual level of humility and righteousness, and it's only ulai, maybe God won't get angry. So he says, it's very depressing, all these sentences in Tanakh. That maybe if you're humble and righteous, maybe God won't get angry at you.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah.
Shimon was the one that wanted Moshe to be reborn, and or Shlomo?
Shmuel.
Shmuel?
The prophet, no, the prophet Shaul. The king, Shaul, King Saul, the king, brought up Shmuel from the dead. But before Shmuel agreed to come, he went to bring Moshe with him.
Well, because I was thinking, Shmuel, you said, lived hundreds of years before Moshe,
after
right?
After
Moshe. And if he were a good man, or he did a lot of things, wouldn't they be written down?
Serious, there's a whole book in Tanakh called Shmuel.
So Moshe can come back, see that in a book like Tanakh, and vouch for him.
Well, you could be a great writer and a lousy person.
Well, that's true too, yeah. But he can be...
As the famous story goes that the Rebbe told, Aristotle was once caught... Aristotle preached morals and ethics, that you know. Aristotle was once caught doing an immoral act by his students. So his students said, you, Rebbe Aristotle, was it this? You know?
I never was taught that in school.
So Aristotle answered, now I'm not Aristotle. That means I preach one thing, and I practice something else.
Do as I say, not what I do.
Do as I say, not as I do. Or as the story told, there was two brothers. One was a rabbi, one was a doctor. And the guy was sick. And he wanted to call the doctor in the middle of the night. But in the phone book, he by mistake called the rabbi. So he wakes up the rabbi in the middle of the night and is asking for doctor, whatever. So the rabbi says, I preach, but he practices.
You're not finishing that, are you?
No. Anyway.
Shimson, you better listen to this.
He's a doctor. Okay, then the Gemara says, here, Davasi, Kimata Lahikro, when he came to this, yeah, don't go out there, it's boring. Ravasi Kimata Lahikro, when he came to this Pasik, another Pasik Bochi, he cried. What's the Pasik? The Pasik says as follows, Sinura, despise evil, Ve'evu Toiv, love good, Vatsigu B'shar Mishpat, establish justice in the gates. Ula Yizchanin Hashem Alakeit's voice, maybe God will grant you favors. So what does the Pasik say? Hate evil, love good, establish good justice,
yeah,
and maybe God will like you. So he says, Kulai Vaulai, after so much, and maybe only God will love you. He says, it's a little scary. Then the Gemara says, and next is another one more crying, and then a doozy story of the Gemara you can't imagine. Rav Yosef Kimata Lahaikra, whenever Rav Yosef came to this Pasik, Bachi, he cried. What was the Pasik that he cried? He said, V'yesh nisve b'lei mishpat, there are people that die without judgment. There are people that die without being judged. Ama, he said, Mi'ika da'ozo b'lizim, is that person that dies, so to speak, early? So the Gemara answers, yes. And the Gemara is going to tell a story now. Unbelievable. Ki'od Rabbibi Barabaya. Like the story of Rabbibi Barabaya. Havashir Gabei Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis used to come visit him. The angel of death used to visit Rabbibi Barabaya. And he used to tell him what's going on in the world. The angel of death used to come and visit him. So what's he say? Amar Leilish, so he says that one time the Malach HaMavis said, Amar Leilish Shluchah, the Malach HaMavis said to his servant, Malach HaMavis is running a big business. He doesn't do everything himself. He's the CEO of the death company. But he has his servants that do the dirty work, the henchmen. Amar Leilish Shluchah, he said to his shliach, Zil Aisele Miriam Megadla Seir Nashe. Go bring me. In other words, the Malach HaMavis said to his servant, go kill, you know, make die Miriam, the braider of women's hair. That was the Miriam that was supposed to die. What happened? Also, the Shliach went, Aisele Miriam Megadla Dardiki. He brought him instead the wrong Miriam. He brought him the Miriam that was raising kids. Meaning, yeah, Dardiki is young children. And Mefarshim explained that how could the guy make such a mistake? The Malach HaMavis said to him, bring Miriam the Megadol. Now Megadol can mean a braider, or it can mean one raising kids. So the agent thought that the Malach HaMavis meant another one. Amalei Malach HaMavis, the Malach HaMavis said to the agent, Ano Miriam Megadol say Nishayam Loch. I told you to bring me Miriam, the woman's hair braider. Why are you bringing me the wrong Miriam? You killed. He basically said to him, you killed the wrong woman. Amalei, so the agent said to him, Ihacha Adre, shall I bring this Miriam back to life and get the other one? Amalei, so the Malach HaMavis said to him, no. Hail Vasaita, if she's here already, Leve LeMinyana, let her stay here. So what is the Gemara proving? The story's not over yet. What's the story? Rav Yosef cried, and he said, the Pasuk says, a guy could die without judgment. That means, what do you mean without judgment? It's not even judged that your time is to go and you could die. So Rav Yosef cried, he said, how could such a thing be? How could you die without a cheshbon, you know? So the Gemara says, yes, because the Malach HaMavis told Rav Bibi Barabaya this story, that he once told the agent to bring. In fact, Tosis over here explains this is not, there wasn't a present story. This was in the Bayesheni because it was the mother of Yoshka. the Miriam Mary shall Eisa Plaini. Must be shall Plaini. Must have been Yoshka.
The one died, or
I don't know. But Taisa says the story with the two Miriams wasn't in Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye was at the end of the era of the Gemara. You know, from the last generation of the Gemara. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed maybe 10 generations before that. So you're talking about like a few hundred years before the story, before Rav Bibi Bar Abaye.
Where did the Beis Hamikdash exist in those days?
In Yerushalayim.
Oh yeah?
Same place it's now. Now, so Taisus explained, you can't say that he's telling Rav Bibi Bar Abaye what happened now, because this story, Taisus quotes from the Gemara and Shabbos, happened during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So Taisus explains, the Malchum Avos used to tell him stories of his past. You know, his past jobs. So he said he brought the wrong woman, so the agent said, maybe I shouldn't bring her back because she died too young. He said, no, she's here already, let her stay here.
Chassidus has an explanation on this?
1 second. But the Gemara says, so Rav Bibi, who heard the story from the angel of death, asked him, Elehechi yicholtaloi. How can you make her die if her time, you know, God gave her X amount of years. You can't just take her early. So when he said, the angel responded, don't worry. How did I take her? How did I take her if her time didn't come yet? So he says, have a Nikita Mesra biyod. She was holding a poker. You know, a poker is the thing for the ovens. Hey, very good.
You hear what the rabbi said?
Okay, she was holding a poker in his hand. Vavakoshraga, and she was extending it into the oven. What happened? Top of the page. Umechariya tanura, and she was sweeping out the oven. Shakalta vanachta agaba dekare. When she removed the poker from the oven, it burnt her knees. So he says, because her mazel was down, she was able to take her. Because the mazel was down, because she burnt herself, so therefore he was able to take her. So he said what happened. Katcha, she burnt herself. Visrai mazel, and her mazel has been impaired. Vai, so therefore I was able to bring her. Okay? Now, like he quotes, Rashi explains that because her mazel was down, it was possible to die early. To the angel of death, they still don't understand. You have permission to do this? Does God give you permission to kill somebody before their time? Amalei said, the angel of death was a scholar. He quoted this pasuk. He said, doesn't the pasuk say, mishpat? Doesn't the pasuk say that people die without judgment? So what do you mean, am I allowed to do it? God himself says in the Torah, people die without judgment. Amalei, but Rav Bibi was arguing with the angel of death how he was able to do this. He said, but another pasuk says, der helech in der ba, a generation goes and a generation comes, which means that, you know, the generation has to finish before the new generation comes. We need just killing somebody early. Amalei said, the Malacham Avos said to him like this. Darinu lo ano, what I do when I kill people early. Malacham Avos said, I don't bring them straight to judgment. I keep them with me for a while. Hanging around me. And then when the time would have come to die, that's when I finish them off. He said, I take the souls along with me, meaning I let them, like Rashi explains, I let them roam the world with me, until the generation is completed. Then I give them over to the angel called Duma. Duma was the angel in charge of the dead people. So he says, when I took a person before his time, I didn't give him over to Duma right away. I kept them with me, they roamed around the world. When the time would have come to go, that's when I gave them over to Duma.
So he has freedom of choice?
Huh?
He has freedom of choice?
Obviously. Omele said, 1 second, he said, Sof, Shnei Mayavadita, But the pearl, the person had unfinished time on earth. They could have done mitzvahs, they could have done, you know, they could have done tshuva. You know, in other words, like this, the Malachim Avos killed people early because they weren't good, officially, right? But he says to him, but if the people had more time, they could have done tshuva. They could have done good deeds. What are you, you know, you're letting them not finish their time. Amar, he said, the Mavir b'milei, he says like this, I make up their years. If there's a young scholar who's very forgiving, I give the scholar the years of the woman or the person that I died, killed early. So I give it to somebody else to do, and his avaida is good for them. In other words, the mitzvah the rabbi does is good for the one I took early. Huh?
And she could also travel as well.
Right.
What's the verse? Is it Torah scholar that...
That's forgiving.
Forgiving?
So the Mepharshim explain, why does he have to be forgiving? Because like this, the scholar says, I want the schar for myself. He has to understand that he's do whatever the mitzvahs he's doing for her years, he's doing for her merit. Or if it's a male, for their merit. So he has to be a forgiving scholar to give up his own Olam Haba. Let's say she died 5 years early, right? So he's going to add 5 years to the scholar. But the scholar has to understand that those 5 years additional, he's doing it for the person who died early. He can't do it for himself. So he needs a forgiving, compassionate scholar.
Do these things happen today, Rabbi, do you think?
And he just says, receivingly, I add the years to the scholar, and he's the deceased replacement. So that we they make it up.
But that means he has to consult him and ask him if he's forgiving.
Huh?
You know, Rabbi Kirsten, the last time we were not here, he was talking about, it doesn't have to be forgiving. If he does it for the sake of just doing it with no reward, so he care less. Anyway, if he's doing the mitzvahs and learning for the sake of no reward.
That's a very high level, though. There are not too many people like that. I mean, that's what Talmud Rebbe explains in Tanya, Teir Lishma. He does it not even for Gan Eden, you know. He does it because this is what Hashem wants him to do. But this is a remarkable story. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing. I mean, the power that the Malachim Avos has. I learned this Gemara when I was a kid. This story stuck in my mind forever. So you took the wrong Miriam, and then the Malach Abba said, okay, she's here already, keep her here. I mean, I never forgot the story. It was such a, it's a doozer of a story.
I thought we said angels don't have any freedom of choice, under the axe in the hands of the chopper and all that stuff.
First of all, there are malachim that have free choice. If they were once neshamas, we learned in one of them, Rabbi Marash, is my mother. Yeah, that's why the malachim got punished. Matat. Matat was once a neshama, a chanech, and because he was a neshama at one time, so then he could get punished. He has free choice. Obviously, the story has a much, much more deeper meaning than what meets the eye. Come on, I mean, you know, what are they? They're playing games over here? Okay, I'll keep her with me for a while. She'll roam the world. She'll go on my jet, you know. She'll travel with me first class around the world. And whenever time goes, I'll give her over to Duma, you know. I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen. That doesn't mean there isn't. Not that I know of. What can I tell you?
You know what's funny, Rabbi?
What?
He spent 40 some odd minutes telling us something very, very deep and sensational, and all of a sudden you bring in the devil. That I don't understand.
Yeah, all discussions usually end up in the cemetery anyway. Okay. Then it's
tell us something
what?
Good.
I don't know which one it was. Megada Nasha, yeah, was the mother of Yoshkes. Yeah.
So which one did he take?
Now the question is, did he take the other one?
He took the one that was his children.
Yeah, but I'm saying, did he eventually take the? But the question is, the other one's time came to go.
But the first one who took was who?
So obviously he took her too. Huh? The only question is, should he put this one back? What?
Who was the first one he took?
Not Yoshka.
Not the Yoshka mother.
The one that raids kids.
I see. It wasn't Yoshka's mother.
No.
Sometimes they come back to life when the coffin hits the wall. Say, what's the wall?
What's the wall? They wake up, yeah. No, it means Tzadikah's children. Okay. Now the Gemara tells another interesting thing. Rabbi Yechon kimat alai k'ro bachi. Rabbi Yechon, and first the Gemara is going to give this introduction, then a story with Rabbi Yechon, which was also very interesting. Rabbi Yechon, but not as strange as the first one. Rabbi Yechon kimat alai k'ro bachi. When Rabbi Yechon came to this pasuk, he cried. What was the pasuk? Vata sesani by levala, you incited me against him to destroy him chinam for no reason. So he said, Evid should have a mesis and levanisas, a slave whose master, when they incite him, is incited and acts against the slave. Takana yeshloi, is there any hope for this Evid? That means if you get the master to go against the slave, is there any hope for the slave? And then the Gemara says another pasuk. Rabbi Yechon kimat al haikra, when Rabbi Yechon came to another pasuk, Mukbachi, he cried. What did he say? Hein b'gadeshiv le'yamin, behold, he cannot have any faith. Even in the holy ones, the buzzer, even in the holy ones, God doesn't have faith. So Rabbi Yechon said, "Ibigdeshiv leyamin." If God doesn't have faith in the holy ones, b'man yamin, then who should he have faith in? Us for sure not. So he calls it to cry. So the Gemara says, "What is the true meaning of the pasuk?" The Gemara says the following story. Yemachad avakazu ubarucha. Rabbi Yechon was once traveling. It was a very interesting story. He saw a guy who was gathering figs from the field. He didn't pick the ripened figs. He picked the unripened figs, which was not the normal thing to do. Rabbi Yechon said to him, I don't understand. Aren't the ripe ones better? Why are you picking the non-ripe ones? Amalei, so the guy answered him back very simply. I'm going on a trip, and I need the figs for the trip. The ripe figs are going to spoil before the unripened figs. Like, you know, if you need bananas for a few days, so now you pick green bananas, not yellow bananas. So he said to Rabbi Yechonan, if I would need the figs now, I could take the ripe figs, but I need them for my trip. And he said, "Hani natrin, mahani le natrin, unripe figs, because it takes time for them to ripen first, and then they start spoiling." So Rabbi Yechonan said, "This is what the pasuk means: Hein b'gadeshiv le'yamin. Behold, God cannot have any faith even in the holy ones." Meaning, as we find in Chumash, and this is where Rashi explains and Mashal explains, whatever. You remember Chanech died early. God took away Vesal Chanech Solekim Veinenu. God took him away. Why? God said, now you're young and righteous. You might get spoiled in your older age. So God killed Chanech and Parshas Bereishis. God took Chanech away. So he says, but the people that are not believers yet, they have time to become believers. So they won't spoil so fast. You know, Rabbi Yechon learned from the story of what happened with the fig guy the meaning of the pasuk. So the Gemara asked a question on this story. Aini, is this true? Vahot hamid David b'shivuvusa Rabbi Alexandria. There's a certain student who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Alexandria. V'shachav adazuter, and he died when he was young. The student died when he was young. But Amr of Alexandria said of him, "He boy haimirabbanon. If this guy would be a scholar, have a chayy, he would live." That means Rabbi Alexander, he said, you know why this kid died? Because he wasn't a scholar. Yeah? So he said, if he would have been a scholar, he wouldn't have died. That contradicts what they're... You're leaving?
I have to get a tape.
Huh?
To get a tape. This one is
full. Huh. So Rabbi Alexander, he said, if this kid would be a scholar, he wouldn't have died. But that's contradictory to what Rabbi Yechanan said. Rabbi Yechanan just said that righteous people got killed younger that they shouldn't spoil. So why is he saying if this guy would be a scholar, he would live longer? If anything, this should have proved that he was a scholar, and that's why he died young. So the Gemara says, no. The people knew, Rabbi Alexandria knew, that this student rebelled against his teachers. He knew he wasn't good. So that's what Rabbi Alexandria said, if this kid would have been good, he wouldn't have died. In other words, there are many people, many great people that die young, because God doesn't want them to spoil. He doesn't want the fix to get spoiled. Certain times, though, the person dies because he doesn't behave properly. Like he brings down the Gemara in Kedushin. One who does not rise before his teacher to honor him is considered a wicked person whose life is shortened. So he says, that's what this kid did, so therefore he died young.
What do you think is the moral of that story?
Don't be too good because you might die young.
You hear that?
You have to respect your Rebbe.
You hear that? Don't be too good.
If you're too good, you might die young.
You hear that?
Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan, Kimata lahai kro, when Rabbi Yechanan came to this pasuk, he cried. What is the pasuk? Because after Aleichem Lamishpat, I'll draw you near for judgment, Vayise aid, and you'll be a aid memahir. You'll be a swift witness, b'machshavtim offim against the sorcerers and the witchcraft, ubanaofim against the adulterers, ubanishboim lashoka and the people that swear falsely, ubaeshkisarschoch and the people that don't pay the workers on time. So he said, Evit Shirabim Makarfiladunik, a slave whose master draws him near to judge, umamailahide wants him to testify. Takana Yeshla, is there any remedy for him? And he says, Rabbi Yechamizaki said even further, Oilanu woe is to us. Sheshakol aleinu akosin kalis chamuris. The Torah in the same pasuk talks about adultery with witchcraft, together with withholding payment of a worker. That means he's saying, look how strict the Torah is. The Torah is likening holding back payment from a worker to adultery and witchcraft and all the terrible avedas. She says, woe is this thing. Amr Rishlokir said, Kalamata Dina shall get anybody who perverts the judgment of a ger, of a convert, Kilamata Shalmaila, Dina Shalmaila. So he perverted judgment against God. And that was by being corrupt to a ger, it's like being corrupt to Hashem. Shenema, because it says, Umati ger, the pasuk says one who perverts the judgment of a ger, but in Chumash it could be read, Umati. You pervert me. So the Torah says by being corrupt and perverted in the judgment of a ged, because you could think, oh, big deal. The guy was a guy. Who cares? You know, what's the big deal now? You know, it's just like doing something against God. Then the Gemara says another explanation of the pasuk. Amr Abchanina bar Pop, kola eisa dover, whoever does something, an aveda, umischaredle and regrets it, Mechelen Meyad is immediately forgiven. If you do an Aveda and you regret it, immediately forgiven. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, V'lo Yireuni, they don't fear me. Ha Yireuni, but if they do fear me, meaning you right away regret it, Mechelen Meyad Hashem forgives them right away. And like it says in Svarim, that if a person doesn't, we mentioned this not long ago, I think, if a person does a sin, and they feel guilty about it, there's hope. When you do a sin and you don't even feel guilty about it, that's no good. As long as there's guilt and shame, there's hope. So when there's no guilt and no shame, then you got problems. Yeah, because basically a person doesn't have Aveda because they don't fear Hashem. But obviously now if you regret it, you're fearing Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara starts a new Gemara. I don't know if she started now. But the Gemara starts about doing something in hiding. If you kill a bug in front of somebody who despises it, or you spit in front of somebody who despises it. So God is going to punish you for it. Okay, this now starts a whole long continuation of the Gemara. Huh? 2 minutes. It's going to take longer than 2 minutes. Oh, we can start it. Anyway, Rav Miyachin came out like crow. When Rav Miyachin came to this Pasuk Bachi, he cried. What does the Pasuk say? For every action which man does, I'm sorry, it's called any action a person does, God will bring it into judgment for every hidden matter. That means we're going to be judged even for the hidden sins that nobody knows about, we're going to be judged for. So he says, Evet Shirabi Shekalosh Gogas Kizdainis, a slave, his master, makes the unintentional sins. Like intentional sins, takana yeshle, is there any hope for him? That means God is so strict that he makes unintentional sins like intentional things. Do you think there's going to be hope for him?
What about Psalm 32? What? Who says, blessed is the person whose sin is covered.
Yeah, that's as far as chilul Hashem, desecrating the name of Hashem, goes. The desecration, in the name of Hashem, that's the worst aveda. The Gemara says, if a guy wants to sin and he can't hold himself back, he should go to a place where nobody knows him. This is what the Gemara says. Shave off your beard, change your clothes, put on goyish your clothing, dress like the goyim, that when people see your sin, they should think you're a goy, rather than a Jew sinning. Okay, we're not done yet.